iRadio 76 proudly presents the 515 Show with your host, John Sarver. Who's at the 515 door today?
You know, sometimes we do is we get a lot of drag racers or folks who own tracks or something like that. This time around, we got kind of a double bang here, and this is going to be kind of fun. Today we have at the 415 Show the man who is most loved ever. Now we're going to find out why, and so are you. It is Craig J. Blankenship. Hiya, Craig. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How about yourself?
Dandy, and I'm glad you're here with us today. Now, let's get the big question out of the way, the big elephant in the room that everybody's been asking, and I'm tired of not having the answer for them. Exactly, how tall are you?
6'2".
All right, good. So, from everybody that keeps knocking on my door and go, dude, how tall is Craig? Now you know, 6'2", stop bugging me. anyways, got the Diet Faygo orange right here, and we're ready to rock. You know, on hot days like this, you know, we should do say is that Craig does own CB Asphalt, correct?
Yes, sir.
How long have you had that, Craig?
Well, I started nearly 22 years ago. And just grew into a pretty monster company. We're an MDOT pre-qualified paving company. Do a lot of utility repairs, road work, parking lots, rarely driveways, but we do some. We're currently right around 43 employees strong.
Damn. Nice. Now, when they, pardon me, when they see a nice warm day like today, I'm sure they thrill.
Well, they get really excited in July when it gets over 100 degrees. That's when you really don't like to be on the back of the paver. But it's always 300 degrees in the back of the paver, so what does it matter, right?
I was going to say, how does that work? I mean, really, is there a good weather to be on the truck?
Well, I enjoy it in the spring and in the fall the most, as you stay warm on the paver and the asphalt's hot. But, yeah, I mean, fair weather is always best, but as long as there's no rain.
You know, when you see all these people, you know, that they're doing asphalt late into the year, until October or whatever, obviously you don't have the same restrictions as putting down concrete. So how does that work? You can, I guess, lay asphalt down to how late into the year?
Well, we typically go to December 1st, depending on weather. You know, once the stone piles get wet and too cold, then they have a hard time making the mix. And, well, if the ground's soft, you're never going to get compaction, so... We go as long as we can. Typically, we see December 1st just about every year.
And then showtime when they say, okay, look, we need you to put down a new road for us, but what's the first date you're going to come out?
Well, it's when the plans allow us, really. I mean, my rule of thumb is, you know, April 15th to April 20th or so is when the plans typically open up. Spec mixes for roads are definitely a better weather item. So sometimes they're a little bit later to start, and they quit making spec mix earlier in the year as well.
You know, there's one thing that I really, I'm glad you're here. It's on so many different levels, but here's a question I've always had. You see that they're doing Woodward Avenue, say, and they're doing between 12-mile and 13-mile road, say, and it's all summer long to do a mile. Okay. Why does it take a whole summer?
I guess it all depends on what's entailed. If you're just going to do a mill and fill, then really, depending on what company, they could bump that out in less than a week. It depends on traffic change. You always got to deal with traffic because people got to get around. Businesses have to survive, and you know there's a bunch of variables there. What type of underground work do we have to do? What type of utilities are there? Is there any structures that need to be rebuilt? Are we going from the base up? Are we just going to replace the wearing surface? It all depends on what they're doing. And a lot of those big roads like that are asphalt over concrete. They have a concrete base. So those take a lot longer if you're replacing the concrete base.
Wow. But would you want to, as opposed to just roughing it up and then putting down the asphalt?
Well, it's always easier just to replace the wearing course, but sometimes it warrants a little bit more. It just depends on what's going on. And, you know, Woodward, weren't they putting in some sort of a rail system down there?
Oh, no, I'm not, I don't think that far up. Oh, maybe they did. Now we haven't seen it, but, you know, it's just amazing to me that somebody would want to open up an asphalt company. Why you?
Years ago, father was a welder, passed away when I was young. Brain cancer got him, and I was kind of looking for a path, and my cousin Mike was working for Air Pump Co., and he was making these spray systems for Seal Coat, and he said, "Hey, Craig, man, there's money over here."
And, hello?
we hooked up with cousin Mike and took my dad's old 5x8 trailer and converted an old oil tank into a Seal Coat rig, and started there and just progressed more and more and more. Now currently we run equipment, landscape supply, sell mulch, sell sealer, paving, concrete, excavating, or even screening topsoil. You know, we just try to keep everybody busy and happy.
You know, when people ask you, "Hey, come on over here, give me a quote," you know, and say it's, because I know you don't do driveways, but say you do, I assume you do roads, correct? I mean, you just said so?
Roads and parking lots, yep. Okay. Absolutely. We do some driveways, too. It's just, you know, at a certain point, our team are very experienced. They have good benefits. They cost quite a bit of money. So if I get in a small asphalt driveway and we try to pay the guys, it kind of breaks the bank for the smaller jobs. We need to be moving on something a little bit bigger for it to make sense for most pockets.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, when you give like a quote or something, what's the first thing that people go, "Oh my God, I never thought about that"?
Oh gosh, the list goes on and on. Yeah, that's a very loose question there.
Give me two.
Well, the different types of asphalt. Mm-hmm. You know, there's your commercial grade that's the cheaper stuff that, you know, you could get a lot better product by spending a little bit more money. There's always the question of, do we have to rip this whole thing out? Can't we just put a skin patch over it? that's always one of the worst ways to go, you know, and then... what do you mean I have to add storm drains and stuff? Because you have no waterfall. The water's got to roll downhill. If you have a flat parking lot, then it's going to sit there and puddle.
Yeah, you can see some of these parking lots where you knew it was beat the Hades, and then the next day you see this beautiful black, you know, with the new stripes painted into it, and you go, "Wow, that's great." But it looks like somebody just took some gloss black paint and painted it really quick. I mean, is that what you're saying about putting on a quick top?
Well, no. There's, you know, you can pave a new wearing layer on top if the grade allows it. But you might be referring to Seal Coat, where you're basically painting the top, or you're tarring the top. It's to preserve the asphalt, keep the moisture in it, and protect it from oil, gas, and the sun.
Did you ever see, Craig, a job where somebody said, "Here, come on, see what you could do here," and you look at it and you go, "Oh, no."
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people, they look at it as, obviously, you'd much rather buy a brand new car or do something really cool to your building. Last thing you want to do is spend it on your parking lot. It's one of the most least very favorable repairs in most circumstances. So
really?
Everybody's pretty much, that's the last thing they really want to spend their money on. If your roof's leaking, you got to fix that. If you got a pothole in your driveway, well, you could fill it with gravel if you had to. It's kind of one of those last things that you take care of.
Yeah, you know, and especially when you see, nothing is more disheartening, like especially around Mound Road in Warren, when they just put down some asphalt. 3-2-1, there's a chunk out of it. You know, and you're driving on the doggone thing, and you go, "It wasn't winter yet. How did this happen?"
Yeah. I mean, it could have had a diesel fuel spill, could have had, you know, some bad mix from the plant. Probably shouldn't have said that, but that happens. You know, you could have had a stone out of the silo. I mean, there's so many variables to asphalt, and 3/4 of the job is just the material. The material is so expensive. You know, it can make and break it really fast.
And do people, like, look at, you know, do you give them a good, better, best kind of thing? I mean, it's like, do people, when they see the best, their eyes go, "Ooga," not because of what you have, but because, like, try to buy a 2x4 today.
Yeah. So, yeah, we give them good, better, best, and we give them our recommendation. Our sales team is very experienced, and, you know, they definitely want a solid product that lasts. If we do, we won't do a job that doesn't seem like it's going to hold up, because that's just going to reflect on us.
Go ahead.
Our salesmen know that. They won't sell a job. You know, we'll pass on jobs before we do something that won't last.
You know, what is the number one thing, especially out in roads and parking lots? Because you see, like, they crack real quick. I mean, is that the earth just obviously breezing up? Or was there something that, because there was talk at one time that why should we do concrete when we can find this 30-year asphalt? I've never heard of 30-year asphalt.
Neither have I. If you find that, let me know. We're going to get rich. Everything's going to turn back to dirt eventually.
Okay.
Michigan, we fight that frost stuff. You know, everything picks up and settles down and heaves, and asphalt's made to flex. So once it dries out, it's going to crack. You know, down in Florida, you'll go to those Home Depot parking lots, and that's only an inch and a half of asphalt. Well, here in Michigan, we have at least 6 inches of asphalt.
Wow.
You know, in the heavy truck traffic areas, and that's in a parking lot. So it just depends on where you're at. But frost has a very big impact on how long your stuff's going to last and how it cracks and so on and so forth.
Because we were talking about, with you bring up a great point about having the asphalt, you know, cement heaves whatever asphalt does. You know, and then it's stuff that we're talking with William Jennings, and it's all over the place, that at Lapeer, there was something happened where from the concrete to the asphalt, it dipped, it did something incredibly, it's okay, but they got to get it fixed kind of thing. I mean, if you're, you know, we're taking a look at like drag strips, because there's some that actually positively around the world, around the United States that we've seen, that could really use, you know, from the burnout box north to the traps. You know, okay, so now, how hard is it? What kind of stuff would you use? How quick could you get it done? And then there's a follow-up question to that, so remind me.
Well, you know, it all depends on how bad it is. If it's just the wearing course, we could easily mill the top off and replace it in minimal downtime. You know, if it's tear it down to the base, you know, if we have a couple of weak areas in the base to repair and pave it to the top, it's going to take a little bit longer. It depends if it's checkered or just cracked, you know. It all depends on the type of fix you want to go for with that. It's about time, it's about money, and it's about the current state of the project.
Yeah, because there's so many projects that we've seen, and there was an abandoned drag strip in Indiana that we saw, and time hasn't been very nice to it, but it's still there, you know. It you can see where there's cracks, maybe about a 2-inch cracks, there's grass growing up, etc., etc., etc. Now, in a situation like that, is there any hope for that, or you just like grind it down? I mean, all things being equal, somebody's got a nice checkbook, etc., but, you know, do you just grind that all the way down and say, look, we really can't save this?
Hey, if the base is good and your pockets are deep, let's just rip or mill the whole thing out and pave it back from the base up. Absolutely, you know, it's the best repair for it is to replace it, I'm sure. But you know, if it's a crack here and there, you could do area repair and then just mill and pave the top wearing course, and you know, you could probably get away with that.
And how long does that normally take?
Well, I guess it all depends on the area. I mean, with the right crew, if you're to take a drag strip from the burnout pit to the end and pave it, if you had the good guys, you could do it in a day or two.
A day or two.
Yeah, you could mill down 2 inches and pave it back in a day or two if you're really trying to hump it out. Yep, absolutely.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, because go ahead.
We own two asphalt mills. We have a 210 that has over a 7-foot cutting head on it, and we have a working 150 that has a 4-foot cutting head on it. And, you know, it probably takes a minute and a half to fill a full semi full of millings, and we can remove that asphalt just as fast as you can walk, if not faster.
Really?
Absolutely.
And then how long? Go ahead.
as I'm sitting on a job right now with my little boy that pulled up behind me that's unloading the dozer, and another semi pulled up in front of me with a load of stone. I still have a little bit more time, but I am on a job here.
Okay, so this being said, too, all right, so now we got the problem with the pier, correct? You know, how are you going to fix that from the cement going forward? Now, there is, if you take a look, because you're from around the area, if you take a look through the fencing over at the world-famous Milan Dragway nowadays, you know, how would you fix that?
Well,
I mean, what would you do?
You know,
let's go that route.
So, going off memory, the drag strip wasn't exactly toast, but it was on its way.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I was to be working at Milan,
yeah,
I would obviously want to open the doors as fast as I could. If the drag strip could stay open for the year and it could hold it up, I would probably focus more on the staging lanes, the pits, and the entryway to it. Because I do remember going down the track last year, and I didn't feel anything crazy horrible. But I do notice there's some cracks here and there, but... or if it's a time-wise thing that does have to be replaced, I'd probably just put a wearing surface on the top of it and get these racers back in there, man. That place has got grass that's over a foot long. It's
yeah.
being wasted.
Yeah, that's...
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, absolutely. We took a look at some pictures through the window or through the fence, and we're going, yeah, okay, look, guys, somebody better get hopping on this thing pretty quickly. You know, and especially when you were talking about you said that you would think about reasphalting the pits.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The staging lanes are very bad. You know, it'd be pretty simple for us. You know, if a customer called off tomorrow and we needed a place for the guys to go, we could send the crew in there and mill out the pits and repave them back really in one day. I mean,
we could
put a different course on. Hey, absolutely. Yeah, something that isn't, you know, that crazy on grade or making sure that it has to be that flat because you're going to be flying 200 plus mile an hour down it. Yeah, we could easily tighten that up right away.
Yeah, but okay, but while you're there, okay, you got big, you know, thoughts about how we're going to do this and do that. You know Milan Dragway, right? I mean, you've been there a couple of times, to say the least.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Two Joes sitting here. What would you do with that place?
Man.
Here's your checkbook.
Yeah, the bare minimum to get it open this year would be what I would do. The clock is ticking. Everybody's
yeah.
at home. You know, they're worried about what they're going to do with the race cars. You know, they want to know what's next. I hear that you're going to have to do something with the bathrooms. Well, hell, why not rent a portable bathroom? You know, put some portables up. As far as replacing them, I know a few plumbing companies that would love to donate some of their time to get them back up to the fire and get the drag strip open.
Yeah.
Fairchild Plumbing.
That's kind of, that was the one thing that everybody was talking about. Those buildings that are kind of, the bathrooms, definitely. The pits, yeah, you're right. You're kind of hitting on all the A notes that would really need to be done quickly. You know, but then also you got that berm coming. Because I think the township wants anybody who has thought about it. Because when you were talking about doing the milling in the dirt and all that stuff, I mean, have you done noise berms before?
I'm sorry, have I done
the noise berms to stop the you know?
Yeah, that's simple. Yeah, you know, you're just piling up dirt at a mowable angle, and typically they put pine trees on the top of them. You know, that would be that'd be great for the community, you know. Whatever the community wants to complain less about the drag strip or enjoy the drag strip more, it'd definitely be looked at. You know, and then also it's what the racers want with the track. I mean, they're the ones that enjoy being there.
Yeah, man.
As long as the wallet allows it, you know, first of all, you got to get them gates to open back up. And then you got to get the road safe enough to travel to the ticket booth because it looks pretty rough right there. And then I know of certain
yeah.
Harley owners that race Harleys that don't even want to go down the staging lanes because they're all rutted up. They don't want to bottom their bike out going down through there. So if we profile milled that and paved that too, that'd have to happen. You know, and then what are they leaving? What are they taking? Are they taking the ambulance? Are they, you know, what about the computer that runs all the times and the printers and everything? Is this going to be a turnkey transition? Yeah. There's a lot of questions, you know. Feinling has the answers, and I'm hoping he's going to release them here pretty soon. When he releases that buyer's packet, as everybody knows, I guess is what we're hitting around. Yeah, I'm trying to buy Milan Dragway. You know, we'll see what happens here. There's other people chomping at the bit. We're waiting for environmentals to be done. Feinling's putting together a buyer's packet, and I assume it's to show what the property boundaries are, probably something touching base with the city. They want to know if the ground's contaminated. And once they get a handful of buyers together with offers, it's going to have to go back in front of the court, and then the court's going to pick out who gets to receive Milan Dragway. Yeah. Now, Feinling could open the gates right now. I think there'd be a lot involved with it. I'll tell you what, if I had the opportunity, I would add insurance on that building and work something out with them. My attorney has been talking to Feinling about this drag strip for some time now. We were beginning to put an offer with a different attorney last year when it first came up, but it sounded like there was better offers on the table. Now here we learn in April that it went into receivership with Feinling, and we're waiting to get the buyer's packet to see what we got to do and if we can come up with enough money to be the lucky ones to own the track. It would be a blessing to be a part of that.
Well, there you go. I mean, breaking news here on CKWI Radio 76, Craig J. Blankertip has his hat in the ring to buy the Milan Dragway. All right, gentlemen, you are on the job like you said. Awesome. Thanks, man, for coming on with us. But you're absolutely right. That place needs to be open, and it needs to be opened up now.
Yeah, I wish that Feinling would, even if it wasn't me, find somebody, man. Why don't you start making some money with that drag strip and paying back some of them debts, and let's get the community back in there. I mean, these racers, they want to race.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Yes, they want to race, and they want to race at Milan also, and that's what makes it so spectacular. And again, I in the back of my head, I remember that you're saying you're on the job right now. So let's get you back on the job. Thanks so very much, Craig. I'll tell you what, if something goes on, will you come back with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thanks. Craig J. Blankertip, hey, with his hat in the ring to buy Milan, kids. Hang on also, too. The Rolling Stones and Jumping Jack Flash. Craig, hang on with us for just a second. Here on your home high performance hits of the 60s and 70s, CKIW High Radio 76.